Like to turn your attention to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. And it's a fairly long chapter, so we'll read from the verse 18. It's a well-known story, this, the life of Samson. And beginning of the chapter, he now meets with Delilah. And Delilah, she's enticing him. And she's pleading with him to find out where his great strength lieth. And then when we come to verse 18, Samson, he reveals all his heart to her. Look at verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has shown me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he had shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he will make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars, whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and they were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. Then the brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Soa and Eshtaoleth, in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Amen. May God bless even the reading of his own word to our very hearts tonight. Man is a threefold being: spirit, mind, and body. And also, man has a threefold enemy: Satan, sin, and the world. And Each child of God has to face this threefold enemy, just as Samson had to face him. This sad chapter which we've read of his life, we see this unfolding, and we can all say, there go I, but for the grace of God. We've been thinking about that on Sunday, the grace of God. And just think about the grace of God. We can say, there go I, but for the grace of God. And we also read in John 15 and verse 5, it reminds us that Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And Samson had to learn this hard lesson. Without the Lord, he could do nothing. I want us, first of all, to see the place where Samson was brought up. Friends, this was a godly home. Samson was brought up in a godly home. Samson's father and mother knew the Lord. They were saved. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb. They were godly parents, we're told here. The family altar would have been raised in this home. Look at verse 8, the chapter 13. We read, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord. Manoah is a praying man. He's praying unto God. And by the way, Manoah, the meaning of Manoah's name, it means rest or peace. Isn't that amazing? Here we have a man at rest, a man of God. God's man is at rest. He's at peace with God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. This is Manoah. And we read, he entreated. And entreated just means to seek the Lord or sought the Lord. So we find him in prayer. And he says, O my Lord. He acknowledges the Lordship. He acknowledges Lord to be Lord of all of his life. He says, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us. Manoah, he wants to be taught of the Lord. This man that appeared, he says, come again and teach us. What does he want him to teach? He says, what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Manoah wanted to be taught how to bring up this child. What shall we do unto the child that shall be born? You know, what a blessing to have godly parents. You know, when we're young, we don't really realize that or take it in. For the blessing it is to have godly parents, for parents that can pray for their children and bring them to the Lord, that they may grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And in Genesis 33, we read in verse 5, and he, thus Esau, lifted up his eyes, and he saw the woman and the children, and said, who are these? And he, thus Jacob, said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Do we, as parents, thank God for children which he hath graciously given us? Or do we just take them for granted? Manoah, thank God for the children. Do we have time to sit down and teach them the things of God, read God's word, and pray with them? See, Manoah, he wanted to be taught how to do this. Is that our attitude? And just when I'm reminded, when I think of that word, teach them. I was reading a book just this week, And there was this young mother, and they had only one child, a little boy called Peter. And this young mother, she was trying to teach her child. What she was trying to teach the child was, every mealtime, she would like the child to finish all that was on the plate, clean the plate. You know what mothers are like with young boys, as they're all the same. They want them to clean the plate. So she threatened him. She says, now, Peter, called the wee boy Peter, she says, Peter, God doesn't like naughty boys. And then she said, and God is angry with little boys who obey their parents. And this went on for some time. And then one night, Peter had prunes after the dinner. And he ate them all but two prunes left on the plate. And could she get him to eat the last two prunes? And she threatened him again. Now, God doesn't like naughty boys, and God is angry with naughty boys. And then she put him to bed, upstairs, and put him to bed. And she came down again. And just as she's back down into the room, there's an awful thunderstorm breaks out. Heavy thunder and lightning, and the rain was fierce. And now she's thinking to herself, little Peter's upstairs. I wonder, the life will be scared out of him. So she slips up the stairs and opens the door. And to her great surprise, he wasn't even in bed. He was standing at the window with his face right against the glass. And she heard him muttering to himself. And she could make it out. And he was saying, oh, what a storm over two prunes. You see, she was trying to teach him, but there's a right way and a wrong way. Teach him that he might bring the child up in the fear of God. You know, Judges 13 and 24, we read, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew in grace. For we read, the Lord blessed him. And when the Lord blesses a child, he's grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from his youth, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. We read that in chapter 14 and 6, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Chapter 15 and verse 4, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And in 14:19, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. But when we come into Judges 16 and 21, we read, the Philistines took him. This is a different story now. The Philistines took him, and we read, they put out his eyes. And this is a long way now from Judges 13, 14, in them chapters where the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Dear friends, this is 100,000 miles away. No Spirit of the Lord now coming upon him. Then the question arises, is there hope for a man of God when he loses his strength and power for God? Is there hope for a man of God when he loses his strength and power for God? Samson is now captured. He's now captured by the enemy. You know, Satan knows our weak points better than we do ourselves. And then we see the cause of his departure. With the conduct of Samson, remember in Judges 13, his godly parents are taught of the Lord, how they would bring this child up that he might glorify God. You see, Manoah knew that man's chief end was to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Samson, to his credit, we have to say he honored his parents and his mother. Samson would have been taught the commandments. He already knew the fifth commandment. So we read here, he comes to his father and his mother, and he tells them his plan. He doesn't run away and forsake his father and mother and do all this evil. He comes to his father and his mother, and he tells them, he sees a woman in Timnath. And look what he says. She's a Philistine. She pleases me well. Now, this is the same Samson that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Look, just now, what pleases him well. She pleases me well. We read, Samson went down to Timnath. You know, geographically, he went down. But spiritually speaking, Samson is going down. And he's pleased now by those who are against God. Isn't that amazing? He's pleased now by those who are against God. He's pleased by an harlot, sinful woman. And if we just could stop here for 1 minute and ask ourselves, what pleases you and I? What's our chief joy? What pleases you and I? Well, David said in Psalm 121, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I joyed when to the house of God, he says, go up, they said to me. You know, Samson's life is set before you and I as an example of your life and mine, with all its difficulties, with all its temptations and dangers. We can remember those of God's dear children who once were strong for the Lord, just like Samson, who once were bright and full of vigor in the place of prayer. But today they've lost their power. They're gone. Samson said in chapter 16, verse 20, I'll go out as at other times before and shake myself. He's resting now upon his own strength. You see, he's forgotten now about Proverbs 3 and 5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. No spirit of the Lord moving him now. That's so sad, isn't it? To see a man of God lose his strength and lose his power for God. That's so sad. Samson has lost his power. And the sad part is, he doesn't know it. That's what it says here. Samson loses his power, and he doesn't know it. We read in 16 and 20, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Well, can a godly man lose his power and him not know it? Well, if you turned over to Hosea 7 and the verse 9, Hosea 7 and the verse 9, and we read there, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, grey hairs are here, and they're upon him, yet he knoweth not. In verse 8, we read, Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned, half baked. And you know, sometimes we use that expression about people, don't we? But I was just thinking about this. If someone a few years back had came to us and told us that our church building would be closed in 2020 and we wouldn't be allowed to come and worship God, we wouldn't be allowed to come and pray, we wouldn't be allowed to come into this building. And then for some short time, if we were allowed to come in, we have to have our faces covered. We have to sanitize our hands. We have to keep our distance. And don't talk too much or much fellowship with people. Friends, we would have said they were half-baked. That's what's here. But that's what's happening. Ephraim is mixing with the, among the people. Ephraim is a cake half-baked. And in Psalm 106, verse 35, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, we read. Here we have Samson, he's getting too close. He's mingling with the heathen. And he's even sleeping on Delilah's knee, we read, in 16 and 19. And he's blending in with them. He's learning their works. He's doing the things that they do. And he's going with them that know not God. And he's learned and learned their works, it says. Learning their practices, learning their customs, learning their habits, learning to live as they did. This is the danger of close contact with the wicked and the worldly person. Romans 12 and verse 2, we're told, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hosea speaks about those baked on one side and raw on the other. They are neither through hot nor through cold. They are like the Laodicean church that we read of in the book of Revelation 3, 15 and 16. Let's just turn to it. Revelation 3 and the verse 15 and 16. I know thy works, that they are neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Neither cold nor hot. The Bible teaches us that God's people should be a peculiar people and a holy nation. Because we are not our own, we are bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Delilah has devoured him. And you know, sin will take us further than we want to go. Sin, she enticed him. In 16 and verse 5 we read, and look what she says, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Isn't that just what the world tells us if we follow the world? We will give you. We will give you all you want to satisfy the lusts of the flesh. And in verse 21, the Philistines, we read, blinded him. Samson's now blinded by his own lusts. And doesn't the Bible teach you and I, where there's no vision, the people perish? Isn't it amazing, really, how far the Lord permits some of his dear children to wander wide and sink deep, yet he recovers them at last. You see, God's word is sure, and God's word is true. For he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. We're safe on his gentle breast. And praise God, if you're saved and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, though you might sink deep in sin, yet you'll never be lost. For God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Now, when we come to chapter 16 and the verse 22, we have a glimmer of light appears with Samson's return to the Lord. It says, Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. His hair was a symbol of his vow to God as a Nazarite. Samson's power did not come from his hair, but it came from his relationship with his God. He's now alone, you see. He's in the prison house now, away from Delilah, and he's separated from sin. Now alone with God. And you know, that's the only way back to God, is to get alone with him, get alone with God, shut out sin, separate from sin, and get alone with God. You know, Samson can well remember the great times, can't he? Sure, when he's in the prison house grinding there, he could remember the great times when the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And can't we, some of the elderly in the congregation, can remember the great times, can't we? We can remember the early days. Remember when the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon us. Remember every Sunday night when the Lord came down and souls were saved. This is the great times, friend. Oh, may God come again by his Spirit and awaken us and bless us. And we can remember many souls were swept into the kingdom of God. Them were the great times. You know, many today I take that book down that George compiled there, the history of our church in the early days, and how it blesses our hearts and souls just to read through it and remember the great times in the early days. Samson's physical eyes are out now, but his spiritual eyes are beginning to open. They call now for Samson to mock him and to make sport of him. In verse 26, he said unto the lad now that held him by the hand, he says, suffer me that I may feel the pillars. This lad that was leading him, he's blind, he can't see where he's going, he has him by the hand. He says, suffer me, or just means lead me. Lead me that I may feel the two middle pillars, the two big pillars that would take the whole weight of the building. That's where he wants to be. And he says, you just lead me to the two middle pillars and let me rest, that I might be left alone, that I might meditate, that I don't want to talk to nobody. I want to be left alone. And he's on his way now back to be alone with God. And he wants to rest upon him. You know, Samson lost strength by sin. Now he's gaining strength by prayer. Turn over to Isaiah 40. It's a well-known portion of Scripture. Isaiah 40, and read from verse 29. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Psalm 51. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Samson's voice may not now have been heard by man, but his prayer was heard of God and graciously answered. He prayed to God to remember him and strengthen him. This once, did you notice that? He says, just this once, Look at chapter 16 and 28. And Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee, strengthen me. I pray thee only this once. Only this once. You know, I've thought of that. Only this once. We could say, only one life will soon be passed. And it's only what's done for the Saviour will last. And Samson prayed this prayer. Only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Only one life. Samson knew that. And it'll soon be passed. Samson knew this noisy crowd of Philistines would soon be moving on. This evening of festival is not going to last that long. Maybe a few hours. Samson, the Lord had led him into the two main pillars. And he says, This is his time. His time, only this once time. The final, you can always almost see it with your mind's eye. The final scene now is set. The temple is packed and thousands on the roof to get a good look at the defeated enemy, as so they thought. The noise of praise to their god Dagon, and as they mocked Samson and dragged God's name into the gutter and said all the evil they could say about him. And, you know, the world is never slow when God's servants stumble into public shame. The world is never slow to get at the servant of God and to condemn his God and all the rest of it. Galatians 6 and verse 7 reminds us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Samson, and chapter 16, verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord that he might strengthen him only this once. And must you see here, Samson had to bow. It says here, Samson bowed himself. He's between the two pillars now, the two main pillars. You see, self had to be crucified. Flesh had to be crucified. Samson's name had to perish, that God's great name might be uplifted. What does he say? He says, let me die, that God's name might be glorified. Oh, may we die to sin, to self and to Satan, die to the flesh, that God's name might be uplifted and glorified. Our God is gracious and he's long-suffering. And may we praise his holy name for his grace to each one of us, for keeping us, for blessing us, and leading us on with himself, even this very night.